Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 3:12 p.m. and that is Central Time. Today is January 23rd. I thought we'd kick off with gold. It reversed an earlier decline to finish in positive territory, continues to hold the $1,900 area, and this continues to be a pretty impressive rebound. But what's, I think, rather interesting is that there's an obvious area of potential resistance around the big psychological $2,000 level. It's poked above that area twice and hasn't been able to sustain the moves. And on both of those previous occasions, we accelerated up to 2,000. So it's not unreasonable to anticipate that following this impressive and swift rebound, that by the time it gets to 2,000, it's going to be really quite overbought. And then the bigger question is, how deep will a process of consolidation be? Because a significant number of gold shares are now also rebounding in a rather impressive manner. If we look at the Gold Bugs Index, it was also well off the lows in here today, and coming off of a much lower base than the gold price, but certainly now back above this psychological 250 area, which was the upper side of that rather lengthy base formation between about 2013 and 2020. Now, silver prices spent most of the day in negative territory and then recouped some of that by the end of the day. It's more of a rangy environment than gold is. And this is rather unusual that silver is really having a delayed reaction to the rebound in gold. But I think investors aren't quite yet willing to give the benefit of the doubt to this rebound in precious metals. So, of course, we should be asking ourselves, well, why are precious metals rebounding in the first place? And I think it all really does come down to the dollar. But the dollar was in positive territory today. But it was the dollar's strength was a really big obstacle to the rebound in precious metals last year. And with the dollar rolling over since the peak in September, that's removed a break from the ability of gold to rebound. And it's also been a bit of a support for oil prices. And oil is back in the region of the upper side of this range that's been forming for the last 3 months, but it did pause a bit here in the region of about $90. What we are increasingly seeing on Wall Street is a risk-on rebound, and bond yields have bounced from the 3.5% level and the region of the 200-day moving average and the upper side of the underlying trading range. So now the bigger question is, how well can Wall Street rally when yields are still in a medium-term uptrend? It's not like we're seeing yields coming up following the massive demand for a hedge against stock market weakness in 2020. This downtrend in prices and uptrend in yields that's been evident in bonds for the last 2 years is really all about inflation and a swift reaction to the inflationary pressures that arose as a result of the dalliance with modern monetary theory. Now we're going to see some questions answered, but it's probably going to take about 18 months for those questions to be resolved. The first, of course, is how high do interest rates have to go in order to get inflation under control? Second is when yields do then start to come down in response to inflationary pressures abating and central banks relenting from raising rates and beginning to cut them, how low will those yields go? And then the third question, and I think this really is the most important, is how high do yields go subsequently? Well, this is a recipe for a potential uptrend or a renewal of the downward trajectory in the secular bear for yields and bull for bonds that's been underway now for most of the last couple of decades. Well, in fact, it's more like 40 years. So when we start to think then about where we are, well, bond yields are picking up from here, and financial conditions are getting easier. And they're getting easier for the simple fact that stocks are rallying. So the Nasdaq was up in a pretty dynamic manner in here today, and now it's back in the region of 12,000 and testing the sequence of lower rally highs. And we're definitely seeing more interest coming back in for the technology portion of the market. So Tesla was up in quite a dynamic manner as well in here today, and it's rallied almost 50% in the space of only about 2 weeks. And that's not really in response to any big change to their business model, but simply that it was exceptionally oversold. Then Apple came out today and said that they're going to aim to release their VR or virtual reality or augmented reality headset at some point towards the end of this year. And then there was a proposed price tag for it of somewhere around $3,000. So we're not exactly talking about a mass market item here. Quite whether they have solved the issues with eye strain is kind of beside the point, because the battery life isn't going to be very long. So you won't have any choice but to either remain tethered or to plug it in, or take it off and plug it in. And Apple is coming back up into the region of the 200-day moving average. So this is the first area of potential resistance. Now let's think about the broader, more speculative portion of the market. So the ARK Innovation ETF has also been steadying, and it's coming back up towards the 40 area, which is the sequence of lower rally highs. So if it can sustain a move above that level, well, then that'll enhance the potential for the further rally to test the region of the 200-day moving average. I think it is worth highlighting that even if we're going to move into a long-term base formation, it's quite normal to see a good-sized rally right at the beginning of the base, because you need to chase in some of the shorts, and then subsequently growth doesn't return, and then investors aren't quite willing to put the resources to work necessary to push the price up and all the way up to the recent peaks. And they do feel recent, even if it was 2 years ago. So then you start to see prices rolling over again. I suspect that that's a pretty good, I think, forecast for what we might anticipate from some of these stocks and funds that have declined in an exceptionally meaningful manner over the last 2 years, that they are good candidates for the beginning of a type 3 bottoming phase, which could be a very lengthy basing pattern. But we're only right at the beginning of it right now. We're also seeing that with more of a risk-on attitude, then Bitcoin was steadier again in here today. So up $383, holding the move above 20,000, holding in the region of the peak from back in September. But more importantly, it is back above the 200-day moving average. So what that is, well, the simple moving average, not the exponential moving average, I think would probably be the more correct way of saying that. And then when we think about, well, what happens next? Well, potentially this is a base formation, and we're only about 15 months away from the halving, or maybe less than that. That would generally concentrate attention on the limited supply argument. That's what we've seen on every other occasion. And you usually see a low for Bitcoin about a year ahead. So it's not beyond the bounds of possibility that Bitcoin's already bottoming. Now, it wouldn't be, I think it would be a bit too much to hope for that we get a big recovery before the halving. But what we are certainly seeing is that some of the fintechy kind of companies, particularly those associated with Bitcoin, are beginning to attract interest. So Square has popped on the upside and it's now testing the region of the upper side of the evolving base formation. And PayPal, which is, I would argue, a much better capitalized company, has also begun to steady in here, although it's not quite yet at the upper side of that range. Then the more directly affected companies relating to Bitcoin are also beginning to attract some interest. So Coinbase is also beginning to steady here from the lower side of its range. Then there are right out there, all the way on the fringe of the. This is sorry, that's Silver. This isn't the first time I've typed in the wrong ticker with regard to Silvergate. But it's certainly out there on the fringe, is Silvergate, which is a crypto lender. And the share is steadying from the region of the lows at the beginning of this year. So, certainly, there is the potential that we're going to see some additional interest coming in here. That if, especially on a day like today, where the Celsius network went bust, then the fact that some of the other crypto-related stocks can rally, that's, I think, a positive, and it speaks to the more of a risk-on environment that we have in markets more generally. And then let's think about international markets. So the FTSE 100 was off its highs, and it is consolidating here in the region of the all-time peak. And that's all I think it is. It's just a consolidation, and probably not much more than that to unwind the short-term overbought condition. And the pound was in mildly negative territory as it pauses in the 125 area. But again, this doesn't look like much more than a pause. Now, I did have a question from someone over the weekend, which I thought was worth addressing. And the example that I used in the weekend video was Brazil, that in the period up from 2000 to about 2011, the nominal stock market price went from about 8,000 to 70,000. But because of the currency, then the currency going up at the same time, and it basically doubled relative to the US dollar. Well, then it went from about 2,400 to 45,000. So you doubled your return because of the currency going in your favor. Well, the question, of course, was, well, if the dollar is going to go down and I am not a US dollar investor, then I need to take it into account that while the return of emerging markets will be flattered by the US dollar, then if you're not a US dollar denominated investor, that's not going to matter. But in fact, it does matter because we're talking about weight of money. And the weight of money will have a great effect on the asset prices in emerging markets. And that's generally what happens when you get the major currency in the world trending downwards, then it greatly enhances the attraction of emerging markets for US investors. That wall of money that hits has a profound outsized impact on asset prices. So it's not a one-to-one relationship. And we can definitely see that then if we go back and instead of redenominating it into US dollars, but if we just simply look at that performance from Brazil and look at it in euro. So the dollar went down for most of that decade. And in terms of the euro, well, it bottomed around 21.25. And by the time we got to the peak in 2011, it was at 32,000. So 32,000 is not the same as 45,000, but it is still a really impressive return. Now let's think about where are the better performing emerging markets. India certainly is continuing to rebound here and has been exceptionally steady in the region of the previous peaks. I'm going to switch this back into local currencies. So I think this is still looking like a consolidation. India is spending a ton of money on building out manufacturing capacity and infrastructure. They see this as what I think potentially for them is a once in a lifetime opportunity, that the appetite of big international companies for taking one-way bets on China is now over. They are looking at China plus one opportunities, and India wants to capture as much of that plus one activity as they possibly can. So they're out there spending, encouraging inward investment, looking at manufacturing more phones, for example, and doing what's necessary. That's helping to support the stock market. Well, the original China plus one was China really plus Vietnam. And the Vietnamese index is also continuing to rebound from its lows right at the end of last year. It hasn't quite yet pushed up through the 1,000-day moving average, but that is looking increasingly likely. Then Mexico, as is increasingly being viewed as the plus one for the USA, and the Mexican index is steadying from the region of the peaks from back in 2017. It's also particularly relevant that the Mexican peso has been among the stronger currencies over the course of the last year, but not in the period from 2013 through to 2020. So in local currency terms, it's in the region of the peaks, but in dollar terms, it's only just now pushing up and through to new recovery highs. Then large population countries like Indonesia are also beginning to attract attention, and the Indonesian index was also in positive territory today and pausing in the region of the peak from back in 2018, but this doesn't look like anything other than a pause. Now let's just switch it around, look at that performance in US dollar terms. And what we're presented with instead is a decade of ranging, but still support coming through in the region of the 1,000-day moving average. So there's certainly the potential that emerging markets are going to become a lot more fashionable. They'll certainly have higher growth rates, and with improving standards of governance and a willingness to embrace a capitalist structure and to encourage inward investment and to enhance productivity gains, then their stock markets could be richly rewarded. And if the dollar continues lower, then the push factor out of US assets and into everything else will become a much more convincing move. So I still think that the US is a more risky environment than many other markets. Valuations are high. We're certainly seeing a risk-on environment right now, and that is not going to last indefinitely if bond yields continue higher from here. Ultimately, there is going to be a US recession. I think that some of the biggest risks are in commercial property and in private businesses, but we have not yet seen the impact of interest rate hikes on the wider economy because they happen so quickly. But the repercussions will become evident, and I think that would suggest that contagion isn't something that we can simply take for granted, that it will not happen. I think contagion will occur. It will, however, create wonderful buying opportunities in the emerging markets. So we're in a risk-on environment in the short term. It will not last indefinitely. And subsequently, there will be, I think, good shorting opportunities in the highly levered portion of the US market. And we'll subsequently get very attractive buying opportunities in the emerging markets. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.